What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of the Defocus podcast. Today, we're talking to one of the innovators in the disruptive technology that's entering the marketplace, kind of offering refractive exams with new technology and new equipment direct to patient. We're here with Yaoping Zhao. He's the founder of Smart Vision Labs. Tell us a little bit about Smart Vision Labs' background and how you got into eye care.
Yeah, I'm by training as an engineer. 10 years ago, did a grad school in optical engineering in Boston. Did a couple projects at a Mass General Hospital. One of the projects is related to retinal imaging. Back then, we spent $500,000 building a big machine and want to see the individual photoreceptor on the retina. And a piece of the technology used to measure the refraction error of the eye was used for wavefront aberrometry. I spent about 3 years on that project, learned everything I can about the eye. Fast forward, graduated, and first job, GE, spent about 2 years at GE. You know, the first months when I was in GE, I look at how GE developed their product. I was telling myself, you know, I can build better product than GE. I think the big company, the mentality of de-risk things, you know, less innovation. So that's, you know, when I start thinking about, I got to do something on my own one day. Stay at GE 2 years and spent another 3 years at Abbott Labs. About 4 years ago, I was reading an article, over 1 billion people around the globe suffering uncorrected vision. You know, one of the fundamental problems is 90% of them located in developing countries, lack of access to vision care, right? Fundamentally, eye doctors. So I was thinking, why don't I build a piece of technology I can put in my pocket and make it easy to use? You know, myself can use it, or you know, my friends can use it. You don't need to have a medical degree to run the technology. And so in that concept, you can go to place and start offering exams to the eye so people can get eyeglasses, right? Eyeglasses, relatively, it's not a barrier here. You know, you can buy a pair of eyeglasses at $1.50. So the whole idea is so convenient eye exam and eyeglasses all along to solve the problem. So that's the whole sort of inspiration how we start Smart Vision Labs.
So Yaoping, what's different in regards to your technology and just the basic autorefractor that technician would use prior to seeing patients?
So we start out as building, a wavefront aberrometry based autorefractor, right? I mentioned the whole idea of building a mobile technology, and we built about 3 generations. In the last 3 years, the more we're building this technology, the more we learn from the industry. You know, we start understanding where the pain point is, right? Myself by training is not an optometrist or ophthalmologist. I'm a consumer in this case, right? So when we're talking to a lot of people, you know, the experience of do annual eye exam, get a prescription for eyewear or contact lens, it's, I heard a lot of people start complaining that experience is not very pleasant. So we want to understand more. So the more we talk to people, you know, the more we understand the process, you know, as an engineer, I feel that, you know, there's definitely space for improvement on the entire experience. We try to solve that improvement from a technology perspective. That's the first story, you know, sort of why we're doing what we're doing now. The second story is, you know, we're also talking to some of the professional in the optical industry in terms of eyewear retail, right? We get to the understanding of, you know, if you owning an optical retail store, you don't have an optometrist working on site, you lose 20% of revenue. Connecting the two dots, last year, about 8 months ago, we start switching our, you know, business model, essentially. We don't sell the device to the industry anymore. We start offering telemedicine solution for eyewear prescription, essentially. So the whole idea is we want to solving the two pain points we just mentioned. And we put our technology in the optical retail, offer eyewear prescription to consumer, so make their experience a little bit easy and also increase revenue for the optical retail. So that has been fundamentally determining the new technology we are shipping to the market. It's not a simple autorefractor anymore. right? So it's an entire solution for remote refraction and offering final prescription. So we measure three things in terms of sending that information for doctor for review. We measure visual acuity using the touch screen, right? Everything automatic. There you can randomize the letter, everything, and the data go to the cloud. But the key thing here is we measure either corrected visual acuity or uncorrected visual acuity, depends on if a customer have a pair of eyeglasses. The second thing we measure is the pupillary distance. We're using the computer vision automatically measure the pupillary distance. The third thing we measure is using our wavefront aberrometry technology to measure refraction. So we're pumping three data points on every patient to the cloud. The doctor can review that data. And I'm sorry, one more point is if the patient has a pair of eyeglasses, we measure the lensometry reading as well. And once that data hitting the cloud, the doctor can review the data, giving out prescription or referral or no action, depending on what story from the data. So the fundamental, you know, the science behind it is we using the visual acuity as a baseline, right? So there are two groups of people walking to the optical store. First group is people were already wearing eyeglass prescription, right? Probably 80%, 85% people walking to a given optical store already own a pair of eyeglasses. And we measure their visual acuity as a baseline, right? Are you seeing 20/20 with the existing prescription, or are you seeing 20/40, 20/100, right? How bad your vision is. With that baseline, doctor can compare the current refraction measurement versus the lensometry reading and giving adjustment, depends on what your VA baseline is. So that's the whole flow we are shipping to the market today.
So is there any subjective, the patient has the new prescription in front of them to see if it actually improves their visual acuity?
So typically that step is encoded in the understanding of visual acuity. So we don't do that final subjective measurement. The reason, you know, we think we can skip that is, give you an example, right? When a patient wears a pair of eyeglasses and measure visual acuity, the 20/30, and the difference of their new prescription, of their new refraction measurement versus their existing lensometry reading, about 0.775 diopter on sphere, right? Make a lot of sense. So the doctor probably is just going to give a stronger sphere to update the prescription and allow the patient going back to see 20/20. And I think, you know, when we look at a lot of data already, and you know, the patient, it has been pretty accurate in terms of how the difference reflecting the improvement on the VA after correction.
But what about other external factors? I mean, dry eyes, macular edema, cataracts, all these other points that we have to look at in order to actually finalize a prescription. How are you guys accounting for that?
Yeah, so, you know, we made a decision at the very beginning. We're going to go after the young, healthy adults, right? You know, we are not going to try to solving the complex pathology case. So our criteria is patient between age 18 to 60. And also we ask 19 yes or no type of pathology question related to the eye, right? Do you have any cataract, any glaucoma, any known issue with your eye, you know, dry eye, floater type of thing, right? Any answer of yes to the 19, you know, questions will kick the patient out. So essentially every patient we deal with in this case are fundamentally don't have any pathology problem in the eye.
Well, one thing I also, you know, just being an optometrist that I've noticed over the years, and this is one of the main reasons why I went into the field, is that us as optometrists were gatekeepers into the healthcare system. So a lot of times these patients come in and they may not know that there's something systemic wise that's wrong with them. Like a patient could come in and have diabetes and have that macular edema, and we're the ones that figure it out because we look at the back of the eye and we see that there's some type of edema taking place there. And of course that's going to impact the overall vision. So if we were to actually finalize the script off of that, then, you know, the patient wouldn't have number one, the correct vision. And then number two, you know, we're not taking fully care of them in regards to the diabetic component. And that could be any age group. How do you combat stuff like that? Because there's a lot of cases that walk through our doors.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, you made the right decision. We are not, you know, aiming to solving every person's vision problem, right? You know, mm-hmm. We are a complementary to the status quo, essentially. You know, you guys keep doing the good work, and our job is to A, and providing, you know, the healthy crowd, the eyewear prescription. B, educate them on the, you know, on the whole eye health part, right? Every patient walks through our exam, you know, has 4 or 5 touch points. They will understand the difference between comprehensive eye exam and a refraction. You know, so essentially we are just providing another option to the market. People, a channel to understand vision is important and get your vision fixed and, you know, see your doctor and get that retinal scan as well. Right.
So I was looking at the website, and you guys do a very clear wording on it that it is a vision exam. It is not an eye health exam. There will be no eye health assessment, and that you do recommend with the American Medical Association and the American Optometric Association that a healthy patient would need dilated eye exam every 2 years. What steps do you do to enforce that happens? I mean, do you say after 2 years here, you can't get a prescription with us anymore? Or is there any sort of enforcement of that recommendation?
So essentially, we started this service 8 months ago. Our general policy towards, you know, helping patients to see is through educational channel, right? You know, I think the number one thing, you know, if you want to encourage people to go see eye doctor, getting, you know, glaucoma test to get their retinal dilated and a scan, it's about make sure they understand, you know, what's those tests for, why it's important. I think that's where we take the responsibility, right? It's not just about eyewear. It's also about, you know, make sure the window of your body is good, in good health. And when we are getting patients that when our doctors see, the data is not telling the same story, right? Someone could have a 20/30 vision, but with a +4 diopter sphere and a -5 diopter cylinder, right? So, you know, clearly there is, you know, something wrong with the cornea. So we'll do the referral and we'll tell that person, go to see your eye doctor. And I think really, you know, from the data I have been seeing so far, we probably sending more patients will never go to eye doctor to go to eye doctor's office, right? Those people, you know, in their lifetime, never even think about going to eye doctor's office. Bump into the optical store, say, you know, my vision is a little bit blur. And, you know, a day later, our doctor sends them a note, say, hey, we can't give you the prescription. You know, your cornea seems to have, you know, some symptom. You got to go to a, you know, eye doctor, check out face by face. I see a lot of cases in that.
I definitely think, you know, you guys are taking some information that's going to be able to catch some of things. And you mentioned it is all telemedically, remotely, all the information sent to ophthalmology that reviews the information and has 24 hours to choose to either prescribe or contact the patient and say, we weren't able to get accurate results or the information we need, you'll need to see a doctor. Now, when that conversation takes place, my other question for you, does it say you need to see an ophthalmologist or is it saying you should see a local eye doctor? Or is this only recommending doctors that are within your network? Or is there anything being done that's controlling the doctors that they're seeing?
No. So it's eye doctor. We don't say it's ophthalmologist, optometrist. You know, we don't refer to any specific doctor, right? We say you got to see an eye doctor face by face. I just want to, you know, sort of mention a topic a little bit in terms of using ophthalmologists, optometrists to do telemedicine. Right now, you know, most of our work done by ophthalmologists. But that being said, you know, I would love to work with a whole lot of more optometrists, right? So far, I think just we probably getting about 250 optometrists inbound about, you know, asking to work with us. So there are plenty of crowd out there want to work with us. And also we want to work with them. But when we go to different states to launch this service, the first thing we check is how friendly the telemedicine law is for optometrists, right? So, you know, a lot of time, you know, they are not very friendly comparing to the law towards ophthalmologists. And I think that's a limiting factor here. You know, for me, we want to really get this technology popular and win the market. We got to mobilize optometrists. You know, there are 40,000 optometrists out there, and they are the dominant force in refraction market. And it's no-brainer for Smart Vision Labs to work with this group of people and helping more patients, more consumers to, you know, improve their vision.
So with that being said, I mean, what things are Smart Vision Labs doing right now to try to help mediate and become a better friend or better partner to optometry? How are you making a connection that your service might actually be helpful to optometrists?
Yeah, so actually I have a good example, right? I have a doctor that I actually have several doctors who are, you know, a loyal customer of Smart Vision Labs. They bought every product we shipped to the market, right? Three generation product, they bought them all. And they are practicing optometrists. So some of the user case, you know, I can think of is in terms of telemedicine, you know, some of the doctor is, they run multi-million-dollar practice. They don't see light of the day, right? They're so busy. So the pain point for them is, you know, they want to take a longer lunchtime and they want to take Saturday off. They want to save a little bit of money hiring part-time helper. So with this solution, they can see patient even, you know, stay home or going to a beach on Saturday, right? So they just have staff to help them to get the patients through. So, you know, that's one user case. The second user case, you know, I have mobile optometrists practicing, you know, their art mobile setting, right? A lot of them need a mobility. And when they need to scale their operation, it's going to be hard to, you know, go to several locations within one day, right? So in this case, you know, they use our technology, sending, you know, different team to different location, and they will be the brain sitting in the office and monitor all the data go to the cloud. They just, you know, sitting in front of their computer and review the data, giving out prescription. So essentially they just increase their revenue, right? I think, you know, I see several cases like that, and I think the industry, especially from optometrist side, they start to understand, you know, how can I monetize from, you know, the advancement of refraction technology.
I definitely think there's plenty of opportunity for portable technology in this profession. Mobile clinics and optometry care are really going to be gaining in popularity, I think, as we continue to go forward. And utilizing something that's a quick and easy procedure that gives patients a real sense of high-tech information that they're getting is only useful in growing the profession. The one thing that always kind of comes to mind with me, though, is so much of what Daryl and I do in the exam room as optometry does involve subjective visual assessment as well. Of course, in addition to health assessment, that's not happening in this case. What my patient I get on a topographer or an autorefractor hardly ever ends up being what subjectively looks best to a patient. So when we think about like bringing this out into a mobile clinic, I still can't imagine being able to properly prescribe without a subjective assessment of their vision through the new prescription, like with some sort of mobile or portable phoropter.
Well, you'd be amazed actually with the data, right? Our data has telling me our remake rate is lower than the industry standard. I think the fundamental reason behind that is you still maintain the subjective information with the visual acuity baseline, right?
Right.
Once you take that, you know, you ask a few fundamental questions about do they like their prescription or do they like their vision, right? So you can take the measurement, then you ask, you know, do you like your current prescription? Or, you know, if you're not happy, is it distance vision or is it reading? So a few set of simple questions, you try to understand, you know, where the patient stand with the current visual acuity. You know, I see a lot of cases, patients seeing 20/30, there's space for improvement. But the patient insists, I love my prescription. You know, I've been wearing the same prescription for many years. In that case, you know, you probably don't want to change too much because the patient adopt to that power. And also I see, you know, a lot of cases patients seeing 20/25 with you know, a quarter or half diopter adjustment, they go back to 20/20 being happy. I think there are a lot of low-hanging fruit or even the fundamental approach of taking baseline, understand where they're standing for existing prescription, and prescribe with your experience.
I think that's a very good point, Yabi. You know, basically, it kind of sounds like, Daryl, it's more like a prescription renewal. Like many people, like you said, they come in, they're seeing overall pretty good. You know, if as long as you don't change anything or you change it very minimally, you're not going to have any remake issues. And if you see a change, then you're going to refer them to get a full exam.
Yeah, I mean, totally. You know, one of the things I think, you know, I haven't seen enough optometrists utilize is education to your patient, right? Typically, you know, I see a lot of optometrists being passive in terms of their effort to, you know, marketing, you know, what they do, right? So maybe some optometrists are taking the opportunity to do marketing, you know, sort of emailing, calling or stuff. But, you know, the age we are in, right? So, you know, you definitely have the opportunity to creating multiple touch points. You know, with this sort of technology, everything is digitized, right? You're collecting patients' contact information. And with that prescription being prescribed, you know, you have plenty of opportunity to explain what's more behind that, right? What's, you know, what's retinal imaging about, and what's preventing diabetes about. And, you know, have a newsletter, you know, monthly, quarterly or something to articulate, you know, the importance of eye health. I think that would be the, you know, the way I see how you can engage with the patient more, right? So the reason right now that the industry is staying a pretty, you know, slow growth rate, it's not because, you know, people didn't talk enough about comprehensive eye exam. It's because the consumer don't care, right? You know, people's mentality is they just want to get a vision fix, get on with their life. They don't have the energy or the patience to understanding the fine print you want to tell them. So a lot of times there's a mismatch of what you want to do versus what consumer want. I think the solution is you got creating multiple touch points, helping them on the thing they want to, you know, want to do, you get them, their vision fixed. At the same time, you teach them a thing or two, right? You're creating multiple touch points, you get to become their friends, then they will start understand there's more value behind that. I don't think, you know, a fundamentally just pushing the whole, let me, you know, come here, come do the annual eye exam is the best solution. You gotta attacking consumer from different angle.
Well, I think one thing too, as an optometrist, I think we just have to give more education behind a refraction. You know, we can't just say, hey, you had a quarter change, go on, here's your glasses prescription. I think we should discuss more of how we formulated that prescription, you know, whether it's, hey, we're not giving you as much minus because you're close to 40. It's going to help you with reading or, you know, just anything else that's going to give them education of why it's important to have that refraction, whether it's this newer technology or whether it's just using a regular phoropter. But I think if you give them the proper education of how you found their prescription, just like how we give the education on why they have dry eyes and how we're going to treat the dry eyes, I think consumer will enjoy that experience and understand why it's important to actually have the eyes examined routinely with the phoropter as well as the overall health checkup.
I mean, I agree with Yaping on this. I think that the reason that there's a place for disruptive technology industry is that optometry has had a struggle in connecting with the modern patient. And you guys use this with Smart Vision Labs very predominantly in your advertising. The technology, when you look at the phoropter, it looks like it did pretty much 100 years ago. And to a patient where they're used to constant new innovation, even though Daryl and I have talked about this, I freaking love the phoropter. I don't even like automated phoropters. I can do more with my manual phoropter than anything. But to the patient experience, you look at it and you're like, oh my gosh, you guys are still using this old thing. And it's a 5-minute conversation or more to explain why this old thing is still the best way to get their prescription. Where if you look at a piece of technology like what Smart Vision Labs is doing, and they're immediately going in their mindset because we're always thinking newer must be better, right? That can wow the patient in a new way. And I think while, yes, it's going to be hard-pressed for me to think, oh, maybe I don't want to use a phoropter, how can I bring this new technology into what I do, still wow the patient, but still marry it to a comprehensive examination where I'm also making sure I'm taking care of my patient's full life? Because as Yaping mentioned, you know, earlier, you're talking about the eye is the window to the rest of the body. If I just prescribe for the eye, for vision, that's not an eye doctor. You know, that's not anything about being a doctor. So what I personally do has to be a lot more than printing out a prescription. You know, we've got a lot of pros and cons when we're looking at the table, but I think you're taking the right step, and how do I make this a part of what optometry does instead of fighting against optometry altogether or trying to bypass optometry? I think utilizing new technology within our profession is really a key to us growing in this profession. I definitely agree with you, Yaoping.
I think, you know, it's about being sophisticated. It's about providing different experience to different crowd of people. You know, the fundamental thing is you want to get people engaged. You want people to ask questions. You want people ask, you know, what, why, how. So that means you want to use all kind of technology available to you to maximize the potential.
So question for you in regards to, you know, staying abreast of just the latest and greatest technology. You know, there are a few other folks out there that's in the realm of disruptive technology. What are you guys doing to stay ahead of this disruptive technology?
You know, I think we have the best team in the field. You know, it's really coming down to understand who is your customer, right? It's about talking to you guys, talking to consumer, talking to, you know, retail people. You know, keep improving the technology, keep improving the experience, right? You know, give you a couple of examples. One of the fundamental improvement with our latest technology is the auto trigger, right? So, you know, we collected over 2,000 data. We want to understand how to make consumer experience, you know, much better than anything in the market. You know, one of the thing is I don't want to, you know, the technician to do the alignment to the eye anymore, right? I want a consumer experiencing refraction just like a, you know, intuitive thing. So we train the software to understand, you know, the position of the eye. When the camera see the eye, the camera understand exactly where the eye is, and in the right position, the camera will automatically taking data. So no more any manual action. You know, when the consumer going through smart vision exams, it's no move left, right, or up and down type of thing. It's 100% software driven. That's the sort of stuff we are interested in. We want to build Smart Vision Labs as a consumer company. I come from a medical background, but for me, you know, I'm not want to push our company more towards heavy medical, right? I want to push Smart Vision Lab to a consumer friendly healthcare company.
So with that question in mind, how do you handle the liability that you're taking on medically with these prescriptions? Like, do you have liability insurance that you're having to carry? Or, you know, what happens when a patient has a melanoma in the eye and they got a prescription and kind of basically the assumption since the doctor signed it that their eye was fine?
Yeah, I mean, this is just like any, you know, practice you do at your office, right? So you have your insurance coverage and, you know, if there any case, you have to use the same for us. And in this case, the doctor, you know, seeing the data they have been seeing for the last 20 years of their practice experience, and they feel comfortable giving out prescription, they give the prescription. They don't feel comfortable to give prescription, they don't. And, you know, they have their coverage, we have our coverage. You know, it's really when we designed this system on day one, right, we made a policy. We're not going to tell our doctor what to do, right? They have 100% control of what to do with the patient. Right. So that made the whole case of how to deal with the patient at a different scenario.
When we were talking to someone in disruptive technology before, he said something very similar. He was like, we don't write the prescription. The doctor writes the prescription. So it is always just interesting to me. The doctor takes 100% of the liability. And yet you're still finding doctors who are willing to do it. It's such a shock.
I think this is, I think this is a almost mental barrier when you see a new thing coming out of the horizon, right? Of course, you know, like anything new, they're always, you know, sort of early adopter, then the main street, then the tail. I think any situation you balance this, you know, some people, they always want to try new things. You know, they on the cutting edge of technology. And when they see this is the opportunity, they can helping more people and also increase their revenue. And they have 100% control of, you know, what they prescribe, they will do it. So, you know, actually, this is a good question I want to ask you guys, right? As a young practicing optometrist, Daryl, you practice at two locations. When you thinking about the technology, you know, the new things show up in your practice, you know, when you're talking to me, what kind of stuff you think we can do to help you?
Great question, Yaoping. And I think the best answer to that is I think you guys should observe us more. You know, don't just come and spend a day or a few days. could spend a few weeks and actually sit in on routine eye exams, sit in our optical department, sit in with our insurance folks, and just see how the overall optometry office is ran. And I think you'll get a lot of insightful information and see where you can help us maybe streamline the examination, whether it's with the refraction, or maybe even come up with some other type of disruptive technology that will be more pleasing to our patients and make our life easier as optometrists as well. But I feel like if you actually come and hang out in the work setting, you'll see why we have some red flags about certain things with disruptive technology and where you can also actually prove your disruptive technology where it wins all around from the patient to the optometrist as well. So I say come hang out with us and make sure you don't just hang out in one setting. Make sure you hang out in different settings, different cities, different demographics. That way you can tackle the entire problem and see where the disruptive technology will be ideal at.
Are you inviting me to visit you?
Hey man, why not?
Let's do that.
All right.
Yaping, I'm going to tell, and you can laugh about if this is a stupid idea, but this is what I envision as the future of the way, you know, I practice relational optometry. Almost as if I have this whole entire virtual reality, not even just a chart, but like an immersive experience. So my patient comes in and says, "I'm really having a hard time driving at night." And we refract in a specific night driving environment. And then they say, and also on my computer, I'm getting a lot of eye strain. And then everything changes within the environment and we can do a computer simulation, complete with the glare coatings that would specifically help relieve their strain. And it all becomes this integrated experience where I'm there to kind of help listen to their complaints, make suggestions, show some things. I'm there to show them all the offerings of different eye care and technology available to them, but they actually have it wearable on their face in a comfortable way with this virtual reality sort of world around them. So I am hopeful that in my lifetime I'll get to see something like that.
I don't think it's too far away, Jen, because I know, Howard Purcell, Dr. Purcell, when he was on, he was talking about a lot of that virtual reality stuff, and he was saying that those guys are definitely working on that. So I foresee it actually being out within the next five, no later than 10 years. So I think we'll definitely see it in our lifetime.
It's one, I think, something that your patients and anyone, as consumers, as millennials, if I can see, touch, and experience, that's something I want to buy. That's something I want to come in for and experience. What looks like great technology, you know, that a gadget, that has a little bit of interest. But if it creates a whole new world for me, I'm in.
There you go. I mean, I agree with Daryl, that's going to become a reality in the near future. I think, you know, the thing I will do if I'm an optometrist, I will embrace new technology, you know, have open discussion like this, and, you know, figure out the space for improvement and push the boundary, right? Be part of the new wave of practicing doctor, helping the industry, shaping the industry. I think that's the right way to building the future.
Yaping, in your market research and launching and getting Smart Vision Labs growing, I mean, did you see some not so good things for optometry about millennial opinions or even Gen Z opinions, the younger generation who's just entering teenage years now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when we do our research, you know, there are probably, 170 million Americans wearing some type of eyeglasses, contact lens on their face, another 70 million wearing reading glasses. It's a huge population, right? You know, we did marketing research in, you know, East Coast, West Coast, Middle America. 25% people we ask, they rather wearing wrong prescriptions than go to eye doctor's office. You know, most of those people are young people. For them, it's inconvenient, right? The experience is not so awesome, right? You know, the thing you mentioned for after, you know, they grow up on smartphone. When they see that thing, they lose a little bit of credibility for them. That's when we start to ask our question, can we design a different experience?
So let's talk about this a little bit more. What other information did you guys get from your research and data?
You know, so people love convenience, right? So we touched about mobile optometry. I would recommend a young doctor go out there, you know, see your patient instead of waiting for patient to come visit you, right? You know, contact your local corporation, go there, do vision exam, providing eyewear, you know, to a bunch of people in a compact time slot. I think A, you're providing convenience. B, you increase the efficiency of your practice, also generating sizable revenue. I think, consumer love that whole convenience factor.
So with that convenience factor, I mean, you guys have some pretty incredible technology. One thing as an optometrist, we're always trying to make sure that we're not, left out in the cold. Do you guys plan on collaborating with any major eyewear companies? I mean, your big brands like Luxottica, Marchand, Marklin, Warby Parker. Do you have that in the cards for the future? I mean, what's going on that end?
I mean, I don't want to talk to any particular company, but we are here to help the industry, right? So I mentioned at the very beginning, we are, in my mind, we are a retail enabler. We want to help retail company generating more revenue. At the same time, on the same page, I think the pie is going to getting bigger for everyone. So as optometrists, I would love to getting team of optometrists together, enjoy the comfort of their office and practicing for, a patient 100 miles away. With the modern technology, you're going to see 10 times more patients.
I think you just felt me like with a cold sweat. I was like 10 times more crazy people. This is one of those things where I think you touched on some excellent points where we can all feel very safe in the comfort of our small room with our phoropter that we love dearly that you can't pry on my cold dead fingers. But the truth of the matter is, in the very near future, we'll have to face facts that our patients just don't see it that way. And it's better to innovate now, or at least look at ways of innovating ethically and responsibly so that our patients do continue to see us as relevant.
Yeah. I think, you have a lot of credibility in the market, right? You have a lot of power that you can connecting the dots. I don't think just sitting there saying no to every new thing coming out of horizon is the answer. I think going out there, talking to people and, figure out a partnership and figure out the alignment will be the solution.
See, Alping, I'm a man of numbers. So tell me, how much will something like this cost me or set me back if I'm interested in this technology?
Depends on who the customer, right? So, depending on how big you are, how many store you have, and how many practice you have. Typically, our setup is we have a monthly fee to allow the customer partner using the device, the cloud, if they don't have a doctor, using our on-staff doctor. And on top of that, we charge a per exam fee.
And how much does the actual system cost?
Here's the thing. We don't charge the system. We don't sell the device. So there's no upfront, huge capital cost for, if you are an optometrist, want to use this technology. The philosophy we have is, I don't want to develop Smart Vision Lab as another medical device company, right? That's not where our interest. We want to have a lot of people to use it. To lower the barrier, charging a lot of money to sell a piece of equipment is not a solution. So we charge the monthly usage fee, the exam fee, that's it. And we are responsible for all the maintenance, fix the bugs, update the software, everything.
Wow, that's a pretty incredible move, man. I mean, that can go pretty far. I mean, that'll definitely cause some issues for your competitors out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? You want people to use it, you got to lower the barrier.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I mean, you're very innovative. The way you're looking at things definitely has a new spin and a new take on things. And there's good research and good data behind what you're doing. I do appreciate you very much coming and talking to us and let us ask you some hard questions, and that you're willing to think about how to become integrated within the healthcare model of optometry. Because, not everyone has taken that same path and has kind of gone, well, we'll just go straight up against them. So having someone willing to come to the table with us and see how can we be more useful to you, that's always a great first step, right?
Absolutely.
So clearly you guys have some cutting edge technology. So what's next for Smart Visions Lab? What are you guys going to do to take the disruptive technology game to the next level? What do you have going on for the remainder of the year and the near future?
We want to keep beef up our refraction technology. One of the things with the wavefront aberrometry technology is, you measure a lot of data in the eye, right? So, we want to deliver a rich data regarding high order aberration. We want to deliver, high order astigmatism, spherical aberration type of thing. Push the boundary a little bit, there are already 3D printing lenses out there, right? how can we, you know, providing supervision to people?
So you're looking at 3D printing glasses lenses or contact lenses?
No, we're not going to get into the 3D printing game, but we want to providing, you know, more than just sphere cylinder to the market. We want to providing the entire wavefront map and have, you know, lens company out there to making customized lens for different people and to hopefully getting their, you know, vision better than 2020.
Got it. So kind of using your data that you're collecting to partner with someone who can design and maybe even 3D print lenses that have that kind of quality vision to them.
Yeah.
So what's the best way for everyone to get in touch with you guys if they're interested in utilizing your services and products?
Shoot us email info@smartvisionlabs.com or call us. Number is on our website. Or shoot me an email, yaoping@smartvisionlabs.com.
So Yaoping, as you know, we're the number one optometry podcast in the world. So we have a lot of optometrists that follow this podcast and listen to it. What message do you want to leave with those optometrists to help bridge the gap between disruptive technology and optometry?
You know, I would love to talking to, you know, more people with a similar mentality as you, right? I will also, you know, want to see the conversation between optometrists. You know, when you go to social media, it's a lot of time it's one voice dominating the entire conversation. You know, it's just there's no value in that. I think, you know, to be, you know, you guys are very vocal optometrists. You know, you probably have a very healthy following to, you know, listen to your show. So I think, you know, sort of some sort of internal dialogue you can do to hearing different voice, you know, maybe understand what other optometrists see the future. You know, when we look at it, you know, what people want to do, what people see, how they think their practice can take advantage of new technology, we'll learn, right? As a company, you know, our core competency is developing technology. So, you know, we're constantly observing how the professional reacting to different technology. So we want to see, you know, positive feedback in terms of how the, you know, the new technology, the company can working with the young professionals.
You know, I definitely think, like you said, there's different ways to utilize any technology. And for me personally, I won't be able to be convinced to uncouple a refraction from an ocular health assessment. At the same time, can I potentially look at doing refractions in a different way? Or giving my patients an experience that they feel like will give them that technology they're looking for online. I mean, these are conversations that are a little bit more in that gray area. I think we might, you know, be looking at how do we all meet in the middle on utilizing disruptive technology.
Well, thanks greatly for hanging out with us, Yaoping.
All right. Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Daryl. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.